Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. It is Office Hours, the Celebrity Entrepreneur Show with James Maslow, the incredible, unstoppable James Maslow. He is at home once again. That's a great relief to both of us. Okay. Mr. Maslow, how does it feel to be home after being on tour for so long?
Oh, David Meltzer, great to see you. This is like our third episode in a row that I'm home. It's been awesome. I've been flying out once or twice a week. Building the speaking side of my life, playing some of my own little shows, starting to play some new music. And that has been such a joy to do something different, but it's also been so, so nice to actually have a home base. And you've been in your office for the last few episodes too. So similar story, I assume.
Yeah, I've been able to schedule this. We have been traveling, but schedule this. We're leaving for Vegas today. Went to Monterey on Saturday for a day. So, we're in and out. I'm lucky. A lot of my flights, like you, are just really short. So no major road trips. But after next week, we're on the road. We got New York, Jacksonville, New York, Rhode Island, and D.C., finishing up with Ed Mylett and Gary Vee on the Aspire Tour. So, We live the same kind of life. Yours is a little bit more taxing because you have to rely on so many other people, where my travels are easy because I just have to show up. I don't do anything. I don't have to rely on anyone else. I can show up or not show up if I wanted to, but more importantly, it's be where you want, when you want, with who you want, for as long as you want. But yeah, we have a young celebrity coming on with us today, and I always say we're there's a will, there's a way, and Heyo. Will is certainly showing the way. The Tao is the way. I study the Tao, 81 verses of it every day. But let's welcome your friend, Will Weinbach.
Yeah, Will, jump on in here, man. We connected recently. I was very impressed by you. You're an entrepreneur. You're an influencer. You're a tennis player. I want you to talk about that. You've got a big match coming up. So welcome to the show, pal.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on. Yeah. It's been quite the journey, especially the journey I'm on right now, where I have 10 weeks to train in tennis. Growing up, I was a national ring tennis player. And now I have 10 weeks to train and get back into it. I might be in the worst shape of my life right now, but training for a match against Redfoo.
There you go. Well, that'll motivate you.
Yeah. He has quite the success story. So a lot of work to be done, but hopefully the hard work pays off.
I'm sure it will. It's always great to have a big goal like that. I actually didn't know until recently. So, of course, we know Redfoo from LMFAO, but he's a very accomplished tennis player. This is not some influencer match. He is actually a professional player, right?
Oh, I think he was the first player his age to win an ATP point. So he's accomplished. And I have a long road ahead of me to get to match point, hopefully.
Well, Will, I'm really good friends. I have a show with a guy named Rick Macy. Are you familiar with Rick?
Of course.
Yeah. So Rick's a friend. I've actually got a serving lesson from Rick last time I was down in Palm Beach. He's, in case you don't know, Serena and Venus's, Roderick, Capriati. He's probably known, the legend of tennis coaching, him and our boy out in Newport Beach. But it's interesting because when we give ourselves a break, whether it's golf, tennis, those type of sports that require both athleticism, but also skill. It's different than playing linebacker or some other fully physical thing. But what's a bigger concern with you, the skill in the memory of the sensory cortex of the skill of serving and backhand and forehands and what position to be in, or is it actually just the shape that you have to be in order to play tennis?
It was interesting. The first time back on the court, it was tough. My timing wasn't really down. It wasn't right. But once you start getting under the court more and more consistently, you start to kind of remember the muscle memory of, the strokes that you used to have. But I think the biggest hurdle right now is definitely the fitness and stamina aspect. I find myself lasting much shorter than I'd like to on the court, especially to be in the best shape to beat Redfoo, and he's in phenomenal shape. So,
I know.
Yep, definitely been a struggle, and I might need a few pointers from James over here on getting back into shape.
We can get you in gym anytime, do a workout. I'm a very novice tennis player, but I think this is applicable in most sports. And I'll attribute it to what my sensei used to say in martial arts. He used to talk about how women actually become the best masters in martial arts once they can master the physical part. And I think what he was saying there is that you have to get through the physical portion first, right? As a novice tennis player, I can use my physicality to maybe beat someone else who's also novice, but that will never beat somebody who has progressed past that level and is now playing the actual game. And so whether it's in martial arts or it's in tennis, once you get back through that physicality where that's not the issue anymore, because that is the first hurdle and that is the biggest issue while it's the issue, then I believe it is much more about strategy, timing, and skill set. So yeah. Once you get back in shape, it's going to be your skill set that wins the match far more than your physicality.
Yeah, and even your mindset, like just being mentally there and like you said, kind of understanding the strategy, but also, you know, not getting down on yourself. I think that when you get to a certain level, what separates, you know, the great players from the amazing players is how you are mentally on the court. So, you know, that's where you see a lot of the pros, especially in the top 10, are excelling versus some of those that are maybe in the top 100.
100%. And we were talking the other day, you were telling me that you're building season 2 on social media. Tell me what season 1 was, and season 2 is tied into this, right? With physicality and maybe tennis?
Look, I mean, I love the idea of playing Redfoo, which is, you know, season 1 of this journey to, you know, getting back into shape. I think really like at the core of it, I'm playing a tennis match and it's fun and it's flashy. I'm playing someone really cool, but the core of it is I want to get back into shape. I want to be the best version of myself. And, you know, hopefully in season 2, maybe that's not necessarily tennis, but maybe that's me, you know, training for a head-to-head against, you know, James in the gym or, you know, whatever that might be. So we're kind of thinking of what season 2 can look like right now. But it's these 10-week short form video content series. And, we've been seeing a lot of, you know, audience members resonate with it, which is great.
Also, I think it's a really healthy way to look at social media. Oh, sorry, David. But just the thought on, instead of just creating content like so many of us have done where we go, oh, we're supposed to do this. What do we shoot? Oh, let's try this. Let's try that. And it's just sporadic and random. I think it's really cool and it's a really healthy approach to be like, hey, what's something that I actually want to do for me, IRL, in real life? And then apply it as a challenge to yourself and be like, all right, I'm going to make a series out of getting in shape or a series out of learning something. I think that's actually a really great way to look at social media.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, for me, it's gamifying it. I can't like encourage myself to go into the gym without like some sort of motivating factor behind it. So social is kind of me gamifying my journeys to the gym. But I think like in social, authenticity is rooted if you want to be successful. And I think that this is an authentic way to show, I guess, my journey and progression to where I want to be. And I think that that's a pretty cool concept.
You know, in that concept, there's a lot of noise in what we want people to think we are. And I think most people your age are dealing in that energy gap between who they actually are, that they're out of shape. They may not be in the financial position that they wish they were in compared to standing in front of shit you don't own, pretending like you're a pro tennis player. In your own generation, this vulnerability and transparency seems to be the only way to create a community of people that will actually engage with you. Have you seen for yourself more confidence in being vulnerable? Because there's not many guys your age that are, you know, putting themselves out in a series or episodes of humility of, hey, look, you know, being in shape is important and round is not a shape. And I wish somebody in my late 20s, you know, would have busted my balls about starting to get out of shape, because getting out of shape, things happen very slowly, then all of a sudden, and the all of a sudden is painful to get back into shape. So for you, how's that transparency and vulnerability played an integral role in building your content today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it took me a long time to realize that I can be vulnerable on social. And I think that it's one of the most important things that I've discovered is that, you know, the vulnerability leads to like a true community of people that, you know, actually appreciate the content that you're creating and building. And, you know, I think also I've gotten to a point where I think I'm confident in myself to the point where I can, you know, make fun of myself for being out of shape and, you know, just kind of make it entertaining at the same time and maybe relatable to audiences, which, you know, hopefully people can see my journey and also want to, you know, get in shape themselves and, you know, find fun ways to do it. I mean, I think that there are a lot of creators being more and more vulnerable on social, and I think that those creators are certainly going to excel past, you know, some of the people that create more artificial content, you know, perceiving a lifestyle that may or may not be accurate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's really how times have shifted since I started doing this. You know, I started on film, TV, and traditional music right before social media was social media. I mean, I remember Twitter just coming out when my first episode of Big Time Rush aired. And I'll never forget, I opened it up and I thought I had to respond to every single message to me. And I was sitting there like, how do people do this? It was the entire episode and for hours after. And eventually I'm just like, I've done like 3,000 responses and I had to stop. But before, at least when I started, it was very much encouraged to have your anonymity. Be an actor, be a musician, play that character in both stages, and then your personal life is personal. And it's 180 degrees these days, which has been a real steep learning curve for me, which is people now want to see you authentically on social media. And in fact, the volume of content that we need to create these days that's expected, especially on Snapchat or stories, it's so hard to fake it. It'd almost be impossible, I think, to fake it. And if people are faking it, I'm almost impressed by it, but it's a silly strategy because people can see through that so quickly. And it is so much easier to just have long form content like this, be yourself, talk about the things that are important to you, and then cut it down. And so I think you're going about it the right way. And for anyone out there who's trying to grow their social media, it seems cliche to some degree, but nobody can be a better version of you than you. So put that out there. The things that you like, you don't like, your quirks, your nerdiness, your athleticism, whatever it is that makes you you. And I think the point we're really getting to here is also put out some of your struggles. And I still struggle with doing that sometimes. I still don't always want to share my bad days on social media, but I know as a consumer that when my favorite people do that, I actually relate more to them and I'm grateful they did.
Right. I couldn't agree more.
So what do you think, and this is either one of you guys, what do you think the best for people like myself that sometimes don't want to share that? Like, what's the best way to get over that and just go, no, I'm going to talk about everything and not just the good things?
I mean, I'll
just jump in real quick. Go ahead, Will. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, it stems from finding the confidence in yourself. Like, I think that if you can find confidence within you to know who you are and know where you're at and know where you want to be, and, you know, you can kind of, I guess, phase out some of, you know, what people's perceptions are of you, especially with social. A lot of people have different thoughts about your content and who you are. I think that if you can find that confidence, it certainly like gives you the motivation and ability to, you know, say, hey, I'll be more open about this and be more vulnerable. And I know who I am. So what does it matter if, you know, Joe from Montana says X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, I think a great lesson, you guys, you know, as I coach a lot of people, executives, older gentlemen who are hanging out on Facebook and LinkedIn and email, more than TikTok and Instagram. But I had a client in, you know, building his brand, building his community in his 60s, almost a billionaire, a multi-millionaire. And we'll get into the entrepreneur stuff, Will. But he was pressing me about getting to 1 million followers. And I kept on pressing him back going, you don't need 1 million followers. And we had a major breakthrough last week. He said, you know, I think I finally get it. I want 7 followers. And I said, whoa, that's interesting, but I think you do get it. Why do you want 7 followers? And he said, because I want 7 followers who will buy the 7 $5 million villas in Exuma that I'm selling right now. Hmm. And I said, exactly. And I believe that is true about transparency, vulnerability, or what I call your essence. And, you know, I'm blessed to have a mentor in social media who I helped with his sports agency, a guy named Gary Vaynerchuk, who I didn't know, Gary V. I thought he was an athlete when he walked in the Nike suite, to find out he was a pretty big deal in YouTube and Instagram at the time. But Gary said, you know, I couldn't believe I was telling people I went bankrupt. You know, I lost over $100 million, went bankrupt in 2008. And I'm like, dude, I can't tell, like, I can't do a video about that. And he's like, Dave, first of all, nobody's listening. He said, the only people that are going to care are the people that are going to learn and want to be curious and want to get to know you because of that. Something in that, no one's going to be like, oh, anybody that would not like you because of who you are, they're not going to like you anyway. It's a matter of frequency in essence. And so, you know, still today with the millions of followers that we all have, nobody's listening. Like I couldn't believe I told people I was sexually molested at 9. I literally thought my whole family was going to call me and this was going to be the most disruptive thing ever in my life. And I didn't get one effing comment. Like my mom never said a word, like, cause nobody's listening. And the people that are listening are the ones that you're helping. So just to encourage people to know their essence and to do that is important. And to that end, though, I want to get to the entrepreneur side of it. You know, we talked about being tennis superstar, content creator. We're all familiar with that. But my whole ballywick is in the entrepreneur side. And this is called Celebrity Entrepreneur Show. Give me an idea what you're working on today as an entrepreneur and how it parallels being a tennis player and a content creator.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. I think ever since I was young, I've always been a hustler and go-getter. So, you know, 12-year-old me would cold call agents and publicists before seventh grade classes trying to book, you know, interviews for a YouTube channel with, you know, different athlete and talent. And that's kind of spanned till now, where I'm always interested in the latest trends and trying to be ahead of the game. So, you know, one thing I'm very passionate right now is learning the new world of AI. So these last 6-8 months, I've really been taking up vibe coding to figure out how can you build platforms that can transform production workflows today. So obviously I'm in the world of social. So whether that's figuring out ways that you can, what I like to call social flirting, where you can, you know, detect upcoming trends and be the first to comment on it, you know, to get new eyeballs on your page, or whether that's performance tracking, creator intelligence, you know, just learning the world of APIs and codecs and Replit and finding ways to leverage that to essentially give myself superpowers that, you know, I might be the first one to have.
Wow.
That's so awesome.
Awesome, inspiring, and daunting all at the same time. Just when you think you've got something figured out, it's like, nope, the whole world is changing. I do think it's extremely wise to be learning AI in any capacity at all. So if you aren't out there, at least using ChatGPT, the way I look at ChatGPT is my best, cheapest assistant that I have. Anything and everything that I want to ask and just get a second set of ears or eyes on, so to speak, I can go there and get essentially the world's information downloaded at once. But what you're speaking about is also creating new platforms. If something that you need for a workflow doesn't exist, you can actually type it in and essentially in moments or minutes, potentially create an app that is specifically suited for you. Have you actually built anything do you think will be of use or service to other people that you could sell or replicate? Do you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. Like you said, I don't know anything about coding and I can talk to these chatbots and chat agents and build any platform. So, you know, I'm in this world of social media and I think it's important to understand data, numbers, and metrics to be able to capitalize on trends and content and A/B testing and retention rates. So I've built this, I don't know if we want to call it a command deck, but basically what its capabilities are is that I'll be able to connect to the Google Trends API, detect top trends, connect to the TikTok hashtag API, detect top TikTok trends, and then via, you know, GPT-4 or whatever GPT is integrated, come up with viral hooks, which we've trained the agent to understand the world of retention and social. And then from there, like I said, kind of like this social flirting platform that populates the top viral posts on TikTok before they've actually gone viral, which we've created like predictive formulas for, to then, you know, be able to be the first to comment or, you know, be the first to engage, which obviously, you know, drives up engagement or retention on my platforms and brings new audience eyes. So it's been pretty interesting. And then also just kind of this like competitor intelligence system where I'm tracking similar creators, seeing what content they post, when. And then it also has GPT integrated to figure out why those content templates and formats are working and what I can do to replicate those myself. Wow. So everything social all in one place.
That is so cool. Now, capitalization, as we finish up, the biggest challenge in entrepreneurship is the money side of it. And there's a million, if not a zillion, good ideas. Or as some of my mentors would say, there are no good ideas until it gets financed and executed on properly. Then it becomes a good idea. For you, has capitalization been a challenge for you and your business? And if so, what's the biggest challenge in capitalizing your business?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when it comes to capitalizing the business, it really depends on creating something that is new and that really serves the consumer, you know, want and need. I think that, you know, kind of where I started out in, you know, the AI building and coding is figuring out, A, like, what am I doing? So just replicating sites that are already out there to figure out how the agents work. And now I think I'm getting to a place where it's, okay, I can build these platforms, but how do you turn these platforms to money? And I think that that's kind of the place that we're at right now with figuring out, A, is this, you know, something that you can monetize? B, what audience, you know, would I want to target for this? And C, what's your go-to-market strategy in getting after it? And I don't know if the social creator program is something I do want to bring to market. So I think it's a question of what can I create for the future that hasn't already been done today that might revolutionize how we think about AI or AI, you know, creation, generation. So, you know, things that I've been thinking about in a good place. But, you know, ultimately, capitalization is the key to revenue and profit.
Yep. You know, and I think that the model is shifting. You know, for me on social media, it used to be, oh, every once in a while, a big brand comes through and just pays me a ton of money for a post. And that still happens sometimes with the biggest brands. The ones who have so much money, they're totally good with doing an awareness campaign. Whereas most medium and smaller brands, they need to see an ROI directly on the money they spend. So they want a conversion campaign. And they're two completely different strategies. However, one thing that I'm finding very, very valuable is me being in person is very much of value to a lot of different people and companies. You know, the 20 years of being a singer, an actor, celebrity, whatever you want to call it, is valuable. And so I've been getting more creative, my team and I, with, okay, instead of just paying me for a post, right, which you all know is only going to do so well, you probably won't see the ROI, my audience is global, why don't you come in and sponsor something that's in person? Let's do a speaking appearance. Let's do a small show. And in tandem with that, we can actually integrate your brand. I found that that is a new way that is becoming very, very effective for me to capitalize on the social media side of my business. And much of that I've learned and continue to learn from David right here. So what final thoughts do you want to give us on kind of thinking outside the box on capitalization for your business?
Yeah, I think like David said, at the end of the day, no one's listening on social. Right. So if that's the case, then how do you turn your business, which essentially for any creator on social is yourself, you are essentially a business. How do you turn that to profit? And I think that, James, like you said, the market trends are shifting more and more experiential, especially with brand activations, because people are, you know, valuing authentic real life experiences. I think that that's a great place for creators to be. But
well, David, what do you think? What do you think would be a good piece of advice for young creators?
You know, I think you picked up on something, James, from just us working together for so long, that so many people were fooled about, you know, posting videos. And I personally had three things in mind when I have big brands working with me, but also building my community. One, experiential. For 11 years, focused in on being in person and creating an energy, a frequency, a neighborhood, an experience. Two, the business development that occurs in person. So you're there with the C-level executives, the directors, the managers, the decision makers, the power sponsors to do better business than just having some phone call or Zoom about a post. But here's the thing I've never understood why people don't take advantage of the experience of the business development in person, is that you actually are creating way more content for them for post-production. So when James does a speech or James does a mini show or whatever it is in conjunction with a company, a brand, or multiple brands, by the way, which is something you can do in person, which you can't do with one post, you now have all this post-production content. And as you know, we're filming our show at a $7 million studio that I have at The Wynn. That quality content's way better way more organic, higher energy, many more companies, many more people, much more business development and experiential than someone paying me 15 grand for one post to tell them I like their enterprise solution.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And that's it's also more exciting, to be frank, for me. And I think for a lot of creators to think about that. You don't have to be stuck in your home, bedroom, or office only creating content there. Start thinking about, you know, in person, how you can take what you already do and then bring it to a community. Because I'm going to speak for myself, but I have seen it with so many of my fans. So my fiance has a company that does in-person health and wellness. We're all craving. I'm craving actually getting away from the computer, getting away from the phone, and interacting with other human beings. And I know I'm not the only one. So I think there's a lot of value in thinking about how you can take what you do and bring it to other people in real life. And then the abundance of content you'll get from that, which might be even easier than the way you're doing it now. So that's awesome.
Well, we need to do more with Will. Will, best of luck getting into shape. Best of luck in your big tennis match. I cannot wait to watch it. Where can people see this great series and your content?
Yeah, of course. You could tune into me on social media. My handles are my last name, at Weinbach. Just excited to keep putting out more great content, and great speaking with you both.
Appreciate you jumping on, bro.
Yeah, great meeting you.
You guys.
Keep up the great work, man. Where there's a will, there's a way. We're blessed to have him on today's Celebrity Entrepreneur Show with James Maslow. Thanks for joining us, Will.
Thank you, guys.
What a good kid, man. You found some really good people. I love how our worlds collide. It's like, I'll bring someone on you've never met before, and then you're like my frequency, and Will's definitely our frequency. What's your takeaway of the day, James?
Well, that's the fun of this show, man. We get to bring different worlds together, and we both get to learn from all the guests that come on board. But the obvious takeaway is really just thinking about the in-person aspect of what we all do, especially for creators who may not have thought about that before. Think about a way in which you can, you know, whether it's collaborations with other creators or with fans or just a community of your friends, take what we do and bring it back to actually interacting with one another. I think it is good for the soul, good for the heart, and is going to be good for content. So my takeaway is just thinking outside the box and not being beholden to the way that social media has always been done, just because it's been done that way. It's going to change. Let's find a new path forward that makes it a little bit more healthy and exciting.
I love it. My takeaway is make sure you know who you are and be okay in different layers and different exposure of who you are. You don't have to tell your innermost secrets. There's some things you may never reveal on social, but make sure that which you feel comfortable revealing on social is who you really are, not who you want people to think you are. And you'll be just fine. You'll aggregate, accelerate, and exponentially grow your community, which is to me the most valuable part of the experience, the business development, and the post-production content that we create. The incredible, talented entrepreneur, James Maslow. I'm blessed to have you in my sphere of influence. I learned so much from you and really appreciate how much you have learned along the way and have taught me. Thank you so much.
David, appreciate you, brother. The feeling is so
good. Look forward to seeing you, man. I know my daughter's going to get to see you on the road at Wisconsin. I'm jealous. I still got to get backstage awesome. And watch the super talent.
I can't wait to have you at a show anytime. Much love.
Much love. Have fun at home. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the incredible James Maslow, Celebrity Entrepreneur Show with James Maslow. Most importantly, remember, here on the Celebrity Entrepreneur Show, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.